1-0. Swings here and drives the ball well. Out to left, and you can say goodnight to it. Welcome home, Ivan. Home run to make it Texas 2, Southern nothing.
Welcome back. Triple Option with RBKD. Third hour. Oh, we haven't been on the whole time because of Texas baseball. Texas with the win, 11-0, as they take out Southern. And it was a dominant effort by Tristan Stevens and good call there by Craig. Great to hear Ivan Melendez. And Craig's right. Welcome back home. He was throwing up the last day in the Big 12 tournament, was really sick. So all of a sudden he's able to get home, get healthy, and get that swing going. Almost hit another one out, as BK mentioned, but he got Texas on the board, and they did not look back as they will now play the winner of Fairfield and Arizona State. That'll be a 5:45 pregame tomorrow and a 6 o'clock first pitch, assuming that the weather will cooperate. We'll get back some more Texas baseball, and we're actually going to talk some Texas football coming up here in a second, but I want to give y'all a Big 12 score update. As we look,
it's a Big 12!
Big 12! Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Great. God, great drop.
That's still so maybe my favorite rant of all time.
Go play intramurals,
Go
brother.
Go play intramurals, brother.
It's like,
you know, people forget, people give Chris Peterson all the love. Dan Hawkins is the one that really started the stuff at Boise State.
It's a great point. You're right. People don't remember that.
Same thing with Mark Few at Gonzaga. I forgot what the guy's name. Dan Munson was a guy who was before and then went to Minnesota. Both those guys kind of went to Power Fives, and it didn't work out. But I digress. Here's the score update in Stillwater. UC Santa Barbara, the Gauchos, right?
Yeah.
Jim Rome's school.
There you go.
The Gauchos.
They're leading Oklahoma State 8-2 in the bottom of the sixth inning.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of wonder, we said with Fairfield, we just don't know how good they are. We're pretty sure Southern wasn't that good, and I think that proved to be true. But some of these teams are running into three or four seeds that are pretty good, including the Florida Gators. That Super Regional is going to meet with the Austin Super Regional, and the one seed Florida Gators, 15th seed overall nationally, but a one seed in that regional. They lose to the Bulls of South Florida 5-3. This is a great opening day for Texas right now. I'm loving this stuff.
Bring it up.
Shout out Charlie Strong for making it happen.
Charlie!
Appreciate that.
Charlie!
Come on.
I'm giving him some love.
No. Yeah, you're doing it sarcastically.
No, me? No.
Taking a shot at Charlie. Charlie's enjoying himself right now. He's in the league, baby. In the league.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that lasts. Not for him, but just with Urban Meyer.
You might be surprised.
I'm curious how that's going to all work
out. They're
going
to beat the Texans. We know that.
All right, we'll continue to give you baseball updates.
They got two wins on the
that
season.
That is true. We'll give you some finals that at least relate to the Big 12 or relate to Texas. But speaking of Texas, let's talk some Texas football right now. 92 days away from the home opener against Louisiana, the Cajuns. Best 92s of all time. We've got some nuggets to get to, but before we do that, I think James Patton's probably the best 92 I've seen
best
here.
Best 92s of all time.
James Patton was a stud on the 90 team. He had Shane Dronette, Tommy Jeter, and then Oscar Giles, who's obviously been a coach at Texas.
Yeah, two-time All-Southwest Conference defensive lineman.
He was good.
Okay, done deal then.
I don't think you'll get too much argument there from Mr. James.
Larry Nibbles.
No, Larry Dibbles.
Actually, 92 was Larry Dibbles. One was Larry Dibbles.
90 and 91 would have been. Oh, 91.
No, number 92 was Larry Dibbles.
Who's 91? Did you just say 91?
No, he was also. Then he went to number one, and that's when he put weight on, and with that number, he looked more like Larry Nibbles.
Talking about Dibbles?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And you got to be really good to go D lineman and go single digits.
Yep.
You better be a monster. I mean, you're not a first or second round pick, and you're running a single digit as D lineman. It's going to make you look bad.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to look bad either way.
But it's also, your weight.
You're right. You're right.
It's also your weight.
It is, but you look bad in a cool way if you're like, man, he's a badass. He's out there wearing number. He knows he's wearing number six at nobody.
Yeah, right.
You know, he looks bad at it, but he's wrecking shop. I don't know if Dibbles was wrecking shop constantly like that.
Jadeveon Clowney wearing number seven looked pretty cool at South Carolina.
Yes, I'm saying exactly.
You
made that when you're awesome.
Look all right, but yeah, you got to be damn good.
You got to be damn good.
Larry had some good snaps here. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I know it sounds like we're disrespecting Larry Dibbles. We're not.
Oh, you guys coming on and bashing Tristan Stevens because you didn't get your day off?
You were too.
We got high standards.
Off the air, not on.
Got high standards.
We do have high standards.
Reggie Wilson, 92.
Yep.
He was a 5-star. I remember that coming in.
Yep. I think Larry was, too.
Was he really?
Or a 4. I mean, high 4.
No, I,
or five.
I remember Reggie Wilson was a 5-star.
He was a 5-star? Reggie Wilson was?
I believe so, yeah. He was supposed to be a beast coming in. Didn't really work out that way.
No.
He was good. He was a decent player, though.
That D1 stuff's tough, Rod. No, it is. I mean, I can only imagine. I'm looking at you.
It doesn't always.
You made the adjustment.
It doesn't always translate. It does not always translate. Ben Alexander is another one, too. You get some quality reps for Texas. Quincy Vassar.
Quincy Vassar.
All right. Shout out to my man CB throwing this together. I mean, 92 is one of those numbers where.
You got Myron Warren right now who rocks 92.
I was going to ask you who is 92 right now.
He did come in and out of the transfer portal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, one of those stories.
He's back, baby.
Mm-hmm.
The much anticipated return of Myron Warren.
Then we got 91 and 90 for this weekend.
Oh.
Save 90 for Monday.
Yeah, we'll save 90 for Monday.
Uh-huh.
91, I can't. Usually I've got an answer on this. I can't think of like a 91.
Keiston Randall.
Okay.
Oh, Keiston Randall.
That may be your guy.
I think he
might be the guy.
I don't think you have a lot to choose
91's not a real sexy number for some reason. For people, for some reason, it's not. 91 would be a great, great number to take if you came in here and you're like, hey, I want to be the best ever.
Arch Manning.
No.
91.
Not Arch Manning. Not Arch Manning.
When yours?
Keep on doing that. No.
Well.
No. No.
No. No.
Okay. If a defensive lineman can make a single-digit number look cool, can a quarterback make a 90s number look cool?
No.
No.
Not possible?
Honestly, anything outside the teens
as
a quarterback.
What about like the hefty lefty? Could Jared Lorenzen make the number 90-something look cool?
Teens and down for quarterbacks. You can't even wear 20-something as a quarterback and look cool.
You'd make that one look weird.
Huh?
If Jared Lorenzen was doing that. I'll give you the oddest. You mentioned teens. You're right about that. The oddest number for a guy who was really damn good would have been Heath Shuler at Tennessee, who wore 21.
Yeah, why did he do that?
I don't know. I think Heath was just a strange cat.
What number did Charlie Ward wear?
17.
Okay. Yeah, so even Charlie Ward knew.
Oh, it's perfect.
When Shea Patterson started at Ole Miss, he wore a number in the 20s.
Did he?
I remember that.
That's weird.
And it didn't work out for Shea Patterson.
What number did Sark wear?
Oh, man. Hold on. The fact that KD can even think
about this is crazy. That he knew Charlie Ward right off the bat. It was crazy.
I can give you the 93 team. I bet you I'd give you all 22 starters.
Of the Florida State?
Yeah, 94. Todrick McIntosh. We talked about
that's
him.
That's crazy, man.
What did Sark wear?
You're sick. I don't know what Sark wore. I was just asking randomly.
BYU.
He wore 20
something. El Camino College or BYU?
BYU.
Or USC walk-on shortstop.
Give us one of those three. And I'd be impressed.
I'm still impressed.
Okay,
what about
69 for Arch Manning?
No.
Nice. If he did that,
come on now.
He would become everybody's favorite quarterback, and I guarantee you that jersey would be a bestseller.
Yeah.
Texas 69.
By the time he's
Manning?
In college, he'll be able to make money off of that jersey.
Oh, he'll make a ton of
money off
60. A quarterback would make a lot of money off 69 if he was good.
Yeah.
Because everybody would get it.
I'm going to guess Sark was 12 at BYU. Now I'm going to look it up.
Your idea, though, about in a marketable world, in the name, image, and likeness world, to be a starting quarterback and be 69, if you're good, it would help you out.
You have to.
Because I guarantee you, like, there'd be late night talk show hosts that would be bringing you up in your big games. Like, you'd become a phenomenon.
Yeah, you could be the quarterback at Hawaii, and everybody would be talking at you nonstop if you're donning
69.
The 69.
Oh, good for you. KD, you got it. He was 12.
I just had to close my eyes.
Shout out Sark.
You
Google 12.
That before you.
No, he
didn't. He was
wrong.
No, I didn't.
He Googled it after. He said, I'm going to do it after. He did say 12.
Seems legit.
He said 12.
Okay.
I just gave you Todrick McIntosh. You don't think I'm going to remember Steve Sarkisian?
Yeah.
Especially that opening pigskin classic in 96 when he tore up Texas A&M. They've still never had anyone throw for more than that on them.
How could I forget? Yeah. How could any of us forget?
What if they ask Sark about the Aggies and he brings up that game? That'd be amazing.
Oh,
he's like, last thing I remember about the Aggies was I.
He has brought it up before.
No, I'm going to say, like, when they ask him about it, like, as he's a Texas head coach, the first thing he brings up is, man, last thing I remember about the Aggies was I threw for a blank, blank yards on them, man. That was a long time ago. Like, just starts like taking shots at him. It'd be great.
He'd endear himself to Longhorn
fans. He would.
Fans.
Longhorn fans would love
him.
That'd
buy him an extra couple of losses if he says something like that. Oh, man. We've got some Texas football insider news notes and nuggets from our friends over at Horns
24/7.
Got to give some love to
Chip Brown. Shout out.
He's got an update on Xavier Worthy, gentlemen. I think every Texas fan and their mother were excited about Xavier Worthy's addition to this class of 2021. A quote from a team source, quote, the kid is as fast as advertised. He's competitive, not backing down. Good sign, end quote. And apparently, he's been one of those guys who was already standing out during the first week of player-led workouts.
Yeah.
High four-star recruit, a top 10 wide receiver in the country for the class of 2021. The one-time Michigan commit, Rod B. The excitement level is brewing. You know, last year, we had that with a member of the class of 2020 at the same position, Troy O'Meara.
Yep.
We never got to see him because he tore his ACL in fall camp, but the buzz was absolutely there. And times during fall camp last year where insider sources were saying that Troy O'Meara was the best receiver on the team.
Taking first team reps. Yeah.
Could Xavier Worthy be that guy this year?
He can because he's got an elite trait that translates immediately into Sark's offense. Sark has been on the record saying he hates stop routes. You know, he prefers movement routes, having receivers on the move. He wants to force defenses to play man-to-man coverage and what he calls run away from man-to-man coverage. Break to daylight is his saying, but he wants to run away from man-to-man using pick routes, rub routes, crossing routes, and that's why he values speed. And it's like, you know, he loves speedy receivers, but it's like saying you love a woman with a big butt and a nice smile. Like, of course, everybody loves that. But, yeah, I mean, he...
I like rich women.
Exactly. Yeah, I want really beautiful women. Yeah, of course, everybody does. But he does value that in his offense. And you have a young man like Xavier Worthy who can bring that to you initially, even before you teach him the nuances of running routes or the nuances of the offense. He didn't have to learn all that. You just got to teach him run away from that guy. Yep. And he can do it very well. I do wonder, you know, where he gets his reps. I think he's battling with Joshua Moore, in my opinion. When you look at receivers as a coach, you're looking at things, traits they bring to the table that set them apart. Troy O'Meara has almost a 6-foot wingspan, freakish size, 6'3", 220,
great
230.
Radius, man.
Great rate, catch radius, exactly. So he's one of those guys, and great just kind of balance as a wide receiver. I think his body control is amazing too. Just from the stuff that I've watched, I know we haven't seen much of him. And then you have Jordan Whittington. We talked about his multiplicity and skill set can actually work in the backfield as a wing back and do so many things with him. Jake Smith, I think, is your most polished route runner. When I'm looking at just pure speed, it brings to the table, that's Joshua Moore. 6'1", 160. And, you know, I think that him and Xavier Worthy are around the same dimensions, close to it. I know Xavier Worthy's got to gain a little weight, but they're close to the same dimensions and they bring the same thing to the table. Yeah, exactly. So I think Joshua Moore should be the one that's most worried about Xavier Worthy showing progress early because they have the same exact skill set and dimensions. And if I'm a coach, usually you go with the younger player if a younger player and the older player are presenting the same valuation because that means the younger player is on a quicker rate of development or at a quicker rate of development.
You make some really good points. The one thing that I am giving these guys benefit of the doubt, the guys that are returning that we've already seen. So we've already seen Josh Moore, and there are questions about play strength and being able to get open and just get off of tight coverage is that – anytime you got a new coach in, and I believe in Sark and his offensive mind so much that it's almost like you get a new teacher in, and it's like, well, okay, you know what? I can change my rep here.
That's a great
right?
Point.
We're starting from fresh, and so I'm trying to give him the benefit. But your point is still there. I think both those guys, and especially because we haven't seen Worthy, I'm just curious to see how good he is, man. I was excited to hear that nug.
Track speed, phenomenal athlete. He's got the chance to crack the rotation early on here at Texas. We're gonna learn a lot about Steve Sarkisian's ability to coach wide receivers early on.
Yep.
Because the wide receiver coach from last year is still here, and that's Andre Coleman. Andre Coleman did not do a great job as this team's wide receivers coach last year.
No spring, of course.
And we don't know exactly how much of the blame we put on Tom Herman and his offense.
Yeah,
but if the wide receiver play is significantly better this year, I just don't think a lot of people are going to give Andre Coleman a whole heck of a lot of credit.
I won't.
He's going to keep his job, which is good, because if the receivers aren't good this year, then I think Andre Coleman could be one and done under Steve Sarkisian. But I'm with you, Rod. I think a lot of Texas fans are going to be like, oh, that's the Sark effect. Because Andre Coleman didn't show us very much last year.
I will say that, and I agree 100% what you're saying. Sark did say that in his coaching career, he has tried to recruit Andre Coleman before. Remember, he dropped that little nugget that he likes Andre Coleman so much, he wanted Andre Coleman before he even got this job. I've been very critical of Andre Coleman. The stats bear that out. The wide receivers were not really good, specifically versus press coverage last year. I think BK's hit the head. He hit the nail on the head. I do think that all the credit will be given to Sark when they play really well, because if the wide receivers play really well this year, because Sark is supposed to be hands on. It's his offense, and he believes that, you know, these wide receivers, that he can get them open. He can use cheat codes, whether it be compressed, you know, formations, or whether it be condensed formations, or whether it be flex splits, all these different things, bunch formations. You can get these guys open, keep them on the move, the pre-snap motions and shifts, all those different things to get them open, KD, whenever they have a freer release, as opposed to, you know, with Tom Herman, they didn't use a lot of those cheat codes that you'll get with Sark in his offense.
Yeah, look, I think I've been pretty open about the questions I have, the two questions I have with the hires, and Coleman would be one, and Joseph would be the other, and Joseph, just kind of what I've heard from Notre Dame people, they... You know, you can always find out how upset they are, right?
Like, yeah, Herb Hand.
People were pissed when Kwiatkowski left.
Yeah.
You can get on message boards, talk to people that cover that program, and they weren't happy about it. Talk to Brian Driscoll. He's like, you guys enjoy. And Coleman, we just don't know a lot about, but what we've seen certainly can question him heading into this year.
No doubt about that.
No, you're right. I remember the Herb Hand thing, though.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
People kept bringing up the Herb Hand.
Well, and the thing that pissed me off about that is the first Auburn person I talked to who I really trust. They said, watch out for twists and stunts. And I thought, twists and stunts? Okay. And then I've called him a couple times.
It played out, didn't it?
Wow.
And it wasn't just Auburn fans. It was Penn State fans, too.
It was.
Right. I mean, fans of every team that Herb Hand coached before he got to Texas basically gave us the warning that
they did.
This guy's not that good.
And they also told me, they said, twists and stunts, and we questioned him as a recruiter.
I remember that. Something else I do remember is my friends at Diamonds Direct, the Diamonds Direct difference. And I would suggest right now is the perfect time for you to head on over to Diamonds Direct and experience it for yourself. They're offering a hell of a deal right now. They're always offering great deals at Diamonds Direct, but right now, they're giving you a chance to save big, whether it's an anniversary gift, maybe it's a birthday gift, maybe you're ready to get engaged, whatever your jewelry or diamond needs are. Right now, it's a perfect time for you to head on over to Diamonds Direct, their hottest offer ever, 5 years, zero interest financing on any purchase. That's right. So you pay nothing down and spread your payments out over 5 years with zero interest on any and everything. Maybe it's fashion jewelry. Maybe it's a diamond necklace. Maybe it's an engagement ring. Maybe it's diamond earrings, whatever it may be. If it's a $9,000 designer bracelet, it comes out to just $150 a month. A $12,000 engagement ring, just $200 a month. Trust me, that's why I went back several times.
That's a hell of a deal.
No, I really do encourage folks, because I got great advice when I was seeking an engagement ring and I need to find one. I went to Diamonds Direct. They walked me through every step of the process. I saved a ton of money on a really nice engagement ring. My woman gets compliments on it all the time. Then I went back again for the anniversary gift. I went back again for the wedding bands. And I probably won't ever in my life go anywhere else for jewelry and diamond needs. That's how good Diamonds Direct is. So go to DiamondsDirect.com. Check out their inventory. And Katie's right. It's always a great deal. That's DiamondsDirect.com.
Quick question regarding Diamonds Direct. Do they sell ring pops there?
They don't sell the ring pops, but I used to get those from, from my, I think we got them from the truck, like the ice cream truck.
Uh-huh.
I think the ice cream truck sold them. That's where I used to get them, and they were really good.
Did y'all ever propose to your girlfriends at the roller rink with a ring pop?
I'm not sure if I was romantic enough at that age to do it.
No.
But I remember candy back then always. Maybe they had candy cigarettes.
Candy cigarettes.
They would have candy.
Big League Chew.
Yeah, it was.
I knew how to pack snuff before I was snuffing.
It was a strange time for candy. It was almost like you're trying to imitating the bad habits of adults, which are candy.
Yeah.
Weird.
Good bit.
The good bit. No,
oh,
not
sorry,
good
bad
bit. Yeah. Bad bit. What? Terrible
do
bit.
What, wasn't there a candy that had crack in the name?
I hope not.
Fun Dip.
Fun Dip was
fun
crack.
Fun Dip was like crack.
Fun Dip was crack. Yeah. Fun Dip and Nerds to me.
Nerds.
I love Nerds. So bad for you.
Oh, they
were
good, though.
Pixie Sticks? You guys remember those Pixie Sticks?
Yeah. The big giant ones?
Uh-huh. That was too much for me.
I loved it.
So my mom's, growing up, for Halloween, my parents would give those away.
The Pixies? The big giant ones?
The big giant ones.
Dude.
They were the house to go to.
God, you
were. Uh-huh. Now that is like crack. That big giant Pixie Stick?
Yeah.
Man, it's amazing. I know. As long as I don't get the orange one. I guess the orange is all right, but you want something else. The purple or the red.
Real quick, guys, going back to our conversation earlier debating whether or not...
We're talking candy here. How dare you?
No, this is good.
Sidetracked.
Oh, we're debating whether or not Arch Manning should wear 69 when it comes to the University of Texas.
Actually, you were.
Yeah, I dragged you guys in. Doug Flutie, number
22. 22. Oh, God. How did I forget that?
Come on.
And I know who sent
Great
that,
job.
Too. Did Bucky send that to you?
No, believe it or not, it was Hook'em on Twitch.
Thanks,
there's no
Hook'em.
Way Bucky knows how to use Twitch.
That's
Darn
true.
It.
That's true.
No chance. I don't know.
No
I don't
chance.
Know if Bucky knows we're on Twitch yet.
He does. He turns his camera off sometimes in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. All right, Rod B, what do you have on your rant of the day today?
Oh, okay. This is not a sports related rant. It's gonna be about the last existing legacy of Pablo Escobar. It's fascinating when we come back. I mean, it is. So we'll get into that when we come back. I know that we don't usually talk stuff like this, but we'll talk about what a fascinating, iconic character Pablo Escobar was. But his last remaining legacy is actually tearing his homeland apart. We'll get into that on the other side of Roch Rant of the Day. Right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite. And start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And I got caught up last night. Went down a rabbit hole. And usually, if I go down a rabbit hole, that means... that the Triple Option listeners are probably going to end up going down that rabbit hole with me. But it was really interesting. Have you guys seen Narcos, the Netflix series, the first season?
No.
First or second season,
I've
actually.
Heard it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's about Pablo Escobar. Like, it starts out about him, and then it goes off into other stuff.
But, it doesn't lionize him, does it?
It tries to glorify it. Yeah, it tries to give you kind of a realistic impression of Pablo Escobar, who's known as the king of cocaine. But yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that. Of course, all the gangster movies, right? There's always...
The mafia movies.
Yeah, all the mafia movies. I mean, you end up falling in love with the psychopath as a watcher of the movie, right? Same thing with Sopranos. You ever watched Sopranos?
Yeah.
You guys have seen Sopranos?
No.
Yeah.
You haven't watched Sopranos?
I know.
I've seen Sopranos.
You've watched the whole thing, right?
I mean, most of them. A lot of them.
You haven't watched Sopranos?
Well, what's better, me or KD? Because he started it and just watched random episodes, and I just haven't started it yet.
I love you guys, but I lose a little respect for you when it comes to you got not watching one of the greatest cinematic dramas in the history of television.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
have you seen The Wire?
No, those are the two I've heard more than any other show.
Here's the thing.
All right, I'm moving on.
I always felt like there was a...
Definitely not going to watch Pablo Escobar.
I always felt like
not Narcos, then.
There's a racist element to it. I didn't like it. People glorify... Italian mafia members, yet Bloods and Crips are pretty much the same thing. We should trash and look down on all of them.
I agree with that. No question about
it.
Because Pablo Escobar is responsible for probably between 4,000 and 7,000 deaths.
Yeah.
Is what the projection is. So I'm not glorifying the guy. He was a psychopath.
He's
a sociopath.
Is there a Vegas over-under that I can bet on?
No. But
he's out.
Estimates. I mean, he was known as the king of cocaine. We'll get into
some of the factoids
about him.
I'm out.
He's a big fan of soccer. Plus, he was a big fan of college baseball. It'd have been a different place today.
That's true.
He was that impactful. But no, I'm with you. I agree with that.
His brother was killed, wasn't he?
My favorite type of genre of film is gangster movies, but to me it's about history because they don't teach that history in school. Like, you don't learn the dark history of America. A lot of it is organized crime.
Right.
No, it ain't just the mafia. True. It was back way before the mafia. It was the Irish mafia. There was organized crime in America. Goes way, way back. Go watch if you haven't watched.
From Chicago, so Kings of New York. I got that history.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, there you go. Gangs of New York. You ever seen Gangs of New York? Leonardo DiCaprio?
No. Heard of Leonardo DiCaprio.
I have.
You seen Gangs of New York?
Come on, Irish
mob. Okay. Exactly. They're talking about the history of organized crime in America. Thank you. There you go.
And, you know, I mean, anytime you're showing anything below 14th Street, I'm in.
There you go. And Leonardo DiCaprio is fantastic. And so, BK, you got homework sometime in 2021. Sopranos, The Wire, or Gangs of New York.
Okay, or. Not
and. Yeah, not an or, because I know that's a lot.
Also, Modern Family. No. Modern
also
Family
Friends.
Is a great
also
show.
Friends.
Not Friends, BK. Incredibly overrated.
Only two black people ever even showed up in the history of Friends in the whole show.
Friends was
And I watched the show. I liked the show.
Way too white for me.
It was exactly. It was too white for white people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I liked Friends, but
pretty
it was
white.
Very white. I would say Ross did date a black woman. Shout
did
out.
He?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, shout out. It was not with him and Rachel on the break, but he did.
Well, thank God.
All right, let's get to Pablo Escobar here. But, yeah, let me get to some facts about Pablo Escobar before we get into the lasting legacy. It was a great piece by Vice News about the lasting legacy of Pablo Escobar. He had a fascination with animals, exotic animals, and that's what we'll get into. But first, some just random nuggets. Okay, so he was responsible, basically, in the 80s, if you abused or used cocaine of any kind. Four out of five cocaine users in America during the 80s were snorting Pablo Escobar's campaign.
Four out of five?
Cocaine, sorry. It's cocaine. Yeah, four out of five.
So that's why he could burn money, right?
Yes, he would drop his cocaine off, they said, notoriously, like out in the ocean, like off the coast of Florida. And they would have pickups, like different, whether it be a plane coming to pick it up or whether it be a boat coming to pick it up. And that's how a lot of it got into America. Say once he was responsible for 80% of the global cocaine market. 15 tons of cocaine went into the U.S. every day, courtesy of Pablo Escobar.
That's crazy.
El Patron.
Straight to Wall Street.
Yeah. He made $420 million.
Wonder how much Larry Kudlow bought.
He made $420 million per week in cocaine revenue, which add up to $22 billion a year.
Unbelievable.
By the time 1989 rolled around, he was the seventh richest man in the world. He made the Forbes list of international billionaires for seven straight years from 1987 to 1993. His wealth estimated around $30 billion, but they never know because he can only put so much into legitimate businesses. We have no idea where all of Pablo Escobar's money went. We have no idea. And to this day, they don't know.
And he would burn a lot of it, too. I forgot why.
No, I'll get into that burning story. All right, he wouldn't burn a lot of it, but he had a reason that he burnt. That was a great story about that. For those who don't know, there's a great book out there by his brother. Actually, his brother, Roberto Escobar, was the brother and chief accountant for Pablo Escobar. And he wrote a book. So a lot of this stuff comes from the book, which is supposed to be, you know, second hand accounts of what went down. So to your money, your story about the burning of the money.
Yeah.
So he would move his family around. He would move his family around every 48 hours. He would relocate his family to 15 different hideouts in Medellin. He had 15 different places and he would rotate them every 48 hours because he didn't want people to know where his family was. And at times he would go to places where, you know, there was no electricity or, you know, bad weather. Like he couldn't account for all that.
It was cold,
right? He's trying to keep his family, trying to keep his family warm. And at one point his daughter was cold, so he burned $2 million to keep her warm, according to his accountant. Because he had $2 million there and he had nothing else to burn. He had no firewood and it was like raining and cold. And it was like, all right, I got $2 million. Just burn the money.
And I'm bringing you
money,
what? Would you say 15
money
billion something?
Yeah,
billion,
I mean, they're making
22
billion.
Billion.
He's making $420 million per week. So $2 million really nothing to him.
My daughter's staying cold.
He spent $2,500 in rubber bands every year, according to his brother and accountant, just to band the cash together. To band it together.
Sure.
So he spent $2,500 in rubber bands. He reportedly lost $2 billion per year. They just had to put this into the accounting because rats would eat the money that was stored. Because this is really important. He had so much money that he can only put so much in the banks and he can only put so much into legitimate businesses. So he would store them into farmhouses, into dilapidated warehouses, walls of cartel members and friends. Still to this day, people are finding money from Pablo Escobar. I'm not making that up. Actually, there's a story. Make sure I get it right here. There's a story in 2020 of his nephew, of Pablo Escobar's nephew in one of the homes that Pablo Escobar used to own or did own. He found $18 million hidden in one of the walls.
Yeah, that's the first thing I'd do if I moved in one of those homes. Those walls would be.
Yeah. Nicolas Escobar told the Colombian media that he found $18 million in one of the walls. The money couldn't be used because it had been eaten by rats. It had been like mildewed and everything. So they didn't store it properly. So a lot of the money that he buried in random forms and farmhouses and all that stuff, it's just not even usable anymore.
I bet you he was.
Unfortunately.
I bet you he was a fan of cats.
It's a great point. Great point about that. Like, KD is a fan of rats. I like fat of cats. I like
which coke are you moving?
There's one thing I like about the guy.
He was known as the Robin Hood to Colombians, which is why it was hard for authorities to actually find him and get him, because they loved him. He built houses for the homeless. He would hand out cash to the poor. He was a murdering sociopath. I get it. I'm just giving you the facts.
But he
built 70 community soccer fields. Big fan of soccer. There's actually a 30 for 30 about Pablo Escobar and his impact on. He would bet on a lot of the games, and he would fix the games, of course. And if you didn't do what he wanted, he would just kill you. I mean, it wasn't rocket science. I mean, that's just how it went. He also built a zoo at one point, and which we'll get into here in a second. But he was allowed at one point to build his own prison. That was his part of his agreement with the Colombian government, that he would go to jail because they didn't want to go to war with him.
Yeah.
Because he actually had a bigger army than the Colombian government at the time. So they went to war with him. He could win. And then potentially take over the state. It'd be a drug state, which basically all he was. So they decide, all right, let's compromise here. You got to go to jail for a while, but we'll let you build your own prison. So he built his own prison.
It was awesome.
It's awesome.
So it must have been a nice prison.
Yeah, they found out later that he actually was transporting drugs via submarine that he bought. As well, he purchased a submarine from.
I've never heard that. Where
did he buy a submarine?
Exactly. We assume he got it from.
Couldn't
I don't
get
know,
it
the,
online back
from
then.
Somewhere in Eastern Europe. We have no idea.
Yeah, was Amazon moving those?
Yeah, they found out later that the dude had a submarine. So yes, he was moving drugs into the U.S. via a submarine. I mean, when you're putting 15 tons of cocaine into the U.S., importing 15 tons of cocaine into the U.S. every day, you need some creative ways to do so. Okay, so anyways, get to his zoo. So he's obsessed with exotic animals, and he had giraffes and lions and tigers. And when he was shot in 1993 and they took over all of his property, they decided they wanted to sell all the exotic animals or get them to different refuges and different wildlife preserves, except the hippo. They couldn't move out the hippo. They're known as the cocaine hippos. Because when at his prime, I guess at his peak, Pablo Escobar brought in one male hippo and three female hippos.
And the trick.
Yeah, and now, and apparently we didn't know this, but hippos, they hump like bunnies.
Really?
They get down.
Really?
Yes, they do. And they went from they went from four hippos that he brought in back in the 80s to 80 last year. There are 80 hippos now. In Colombia, in Medellin, right there where he had it, I think it's called the Hacienda Nepolis, is like his property. But by the way, his 5,500 acre estate that he had all these hippos and giraffes and elephants and stuff on, it is now a tourist attraction. That's what they turned it into, a tourist attraction.
There's the glorified.
Exactly.
About.
So they're making money off the hippos. There's a whole tourist industry, the whole economy built off of these hippos who are not supposed to be here. Hippos are native, of course, to Africa, and they're not supposed to be here. And the hippos, by the way, they love it there because they thrive. They have no natural predators. There's nobody that can mess with these hippos. There's nothing that can mess with them. So what's happening now, and they live in this, what they call the Mississippi River, basically, of...
Goes all the
Colombia.
Way down there?
No. But it runs through everything. Oh, I think it's called the Rio Magdalena. And that's where they live. They're 4,000 pounds. All right. These things, and they're projected to have a number of 1,400 by 2039.
Wow.
The problem is...
That one dude did some business.
Yeah. Their poop and their urine, it's toxic to the environment.
Okay.
Their poop creates algae, which suffocates the fish. It reduces oxygen and suffocates the fish. Hell, we have toxic algae here in Austin that actually can poison your dogs, by the way. Go look it up. I won't waste time on that. But they don't have any natural predators, and these things are unbelievable. And by the way, hippos don't swim. They spend 16 hours a day in the water, but they don't swim. They leap, and they leap out of the water. I'm not making this up. Hippos are too heavy to swim.
But they can leap?
They're so strong and muscular, they sink to the surface run on the ground underwater.
Wow.
And then they jump up to the surface of the water.
I floating. Never knew that. That's
okay. What's like the vert? What are we talking here?
I don't know.
Is it like a Zion hippo?
I swear. You can go look it up. It's crazy. The stuff about hippos. Unbelievable. That's why people say, oh, the hippos are swimming after me. No, no. They're actually running on the surface of the wherever, the river or the lake, and then they leap up.
So that's why they don't want deep water.
That's why they don't like deep water. They want to be able to run on the surface. Crazy.
Jesus, hippos.
Oh, man, these hippos are unbelievable. All right, anyway, so these hippos are toxic to the environment, but they don't know what to do with them because the locals, they love them. They're making money off them. They've got 50 to 100,000 tourists going there per year, and they all want to see the cocaine hippos. And they got tourist shops and attractions and all this merchandising. There's a whole hippo economy down there in Colombia based off of Pablo Escobar's hippos that he left down there. So they tried castration, didn't work because hippos' reproductive organs are inside.
So they're up in there. You just have to kill them.
Are you guys just not?
No,
up inside them. Like, they don't have any external reproductive organs.
Oh, I got to go to the doctor then.
Yeah, they are I'm going to get that checked.
They're all up inside. So they want to castrate them physically, but they can't
because
they can't get to the reproductive organs. They tried chemical castration, and they said that's something they can do, but they only can castrate, like, one per year because they really don't have the know-how, the expertise to castrate them.
Well, and getting a hippo, just getting one would be tough.
Yeah, they say getting them is good really, really tough. That. It's not easy to capture them because they come out at night and hang out at night, and they're weird. They're just weird animals, period.
They're pretty aggressive, too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they kill a lot of humans.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably no animal that kills more humans than the hippo.
Is that right?
I'm not making that up.
No, I mean,
hippos kill a lot of humans.
You'll see, I saw a video on Twitter the other day of someone they were on a boat and this hippo came out of the water and I guess was leaping rod and went after him.
Yeah, no, the hippos are very dangerous and they're huge. Like I said, they're 4,000 pounds. They're just beasts. So they don't know what to do about these hippos, but people love them. And right now, that's the lasting legacy of Pablo Escobar. They basically gotten rid of everything that represents Pablo Escobar in Colombia except for these freaking hippos, which are everywhere. And they're taking over.
That is fantastic.
I love them.
I saw the hippo story. I didn't read into it.
Oh, it's great.
But that was a good rod.
Oh, man.
Deep dive.
Nice. Yeah.
So no, what?
They say hippos kill an estimated 500 people per year. Per year in Africa. They kill 500 people per year. They're just aggressive.
So what's the plan? Do we have a plan or are we just going to let them be?
They want to kill them. They want to kill 30 per year.
Okay.
But people don't want that. It's like, that's cruel, just to kill 30 per year. So they're hoping like they'll be able
to kill 500 of us. That seems very fair.
Yeah, right.
They're hoping like to be able to ship them to wildlife preserves, but that's really expensive and all that kind of stuff. But they shouldn't be in Colombia. And they love it there because it's like a hippo heaven for them. Because they have no predators. They're just living life and they're just banging it out and reproducing.
That's awesome.
Right? I wonder what a hippo predator is.
And they don't have to hunt for food because the locals love them so much, they keep feeding them. They just keep feeding them because they want them to come around for all the tourists. It is crazy. It is a fuster cluck, but so cool.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Great deep dive right there. Rod's rant of the day here on the Triple Option with RPKD. When we come back, we'll talk a little NBA. Game 6, Mavs, Clippers tonight. Can the Mavs close it out? Plus more Texas baseball conversation still to come. The Longhorns looking very, very impressive in their postseason opener. We'll recap it next.
You said you know I always had you, baby. Just waiting for you to find what you were looking for.
Country Music Friday here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I'm BK Brad Kellner. Short show today, but usually we end early. Today, we start late and end on time, so we'll be here until 7 o'clock. We'll talk plenty more Texas baseball as the Longhorns took care of business against Southern in the opener of the Austin Regional. Rod B., before we get into some NBA talk here, you said you've got an interesting text?
Yes, thank you very much. We had a listener send me a great factoid from Southpaw Shaman. Give him some props. At Epic...
Lefty, huh?
At Epic Disillusion. I think it's a cool handle.
There's a lot going on there.
I know, a lot going on there. But he did send me this little nugget about, this is an article about the Huddle Hippos. Turns out the Huddle Hippos, as we're talking about hippos, I don't know when we're going to talk about them again, they are the only hippo mascot in the United States of America.
Really?
Yeah, according to this article. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've never heard of a hippo as a mascot either, so I'll throw that out there.
There should be more hippos. I understand maybe for the lady sports are like, hey, I don't want that across my chest, you know.
True.
But think about like a pro team or a college team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know, but apparently the Huddle Hippos got their nickname. The story behind it is that one time a circus came to town, and the circus had a hippo get loose, and they don't know whether they ever caught the hippo or whether the hippo was, you know, I don't know, loose in the wild.
Like, wow. Still?
They never like, I don't know, put in. I don't know. I don't ever.
What, do we
get,
have our own Bigfoot here?
They don't resolve the story, so I don't
he
know
moved
whether
to Taylor a couple years
it was
later.
A 7,000-pound hippo named
property
Henrietta
taxes.
Who escaped, and then that's kind of where the legend got started. Where the hippo escaped the circus, and boom, there you go.
I've always loved the Huddle hippos. I thought that was perfect. The alliteration too.
Word on the street is Katie's mom took the hippo in and has been caring for her for years.
God, you know, you kid. that would happen.
Oh, I don't kid.
Yeah,
I love your mother, but I also know your mother.
Yeah,
nice.
You know her very well, obviously. Yeah, no, she would do that.
You know, Henrietta's a sweetheart.
Bad mom impression.
Your mom would definitely have a relationship with the hippo.
No, she would.
She'd be like, oh, no, he's cool.
He's cool. She wants me to take in Carl, the OG raccoon in Hyde Park, who came back last Friday.
Yes, he did.
Because of the storm.
So it was like we came back during Snowvit, and he came during the storm. So basically he looks for safe haven. You guys are it.
And he knows I'm cool with him now because I came up, and he looked at me and was like, he had the mentality of a cat. It's like, looked at me and put his head down. Like, no, you're not going to do anything to me.
I didn't like dap you up.
I think he would.
That is fantastic.
Like in a dugout. You guys have like a secret handshake already.
Yeah, we do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Carl.
That'd be incredible.
Carl the Coon.
Carl with a K, too. I don't know why I did it with a K.
Carl with a K. That's right. There you go.
I named him.
I like that.
Carl Marx fan or something.
Wow. Good. Oh, nice reference.
That is.
I don't know who that is.
You know Carl Marx. I am my mom's son.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You love animals.
There you go. All right, guys. Game 6 tonight. There's only one first round series left in the NBA. And it could end tonight. It's Mavs-Clippers, Game 6 in Dallas. This is only the second ever NBA playoff series in which the road team has won the first 5 games. The first time that happened, the 95 Western Conference Finals between the Rockets and the Spurs. The Rockets actually closed out the series at home in Game 6. So if the Clippers win tonight, we'll have history.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a road team winning the first 6 games of a series, which has never happened in the NBA. Guys, no respect for the Little Mavericks.
Mm.
They have been underdogs in all 6 games of this series. They are 2.5-point dogs tonight. KD, does Dallas close it out at home, or will this thing go 7?
I got a feeling this thing goes 7. And I don't know who I'm going to pick. I mean, obviously, the way this series is going, if that holds true and it does go 7, then the Mavs should be the favorite because they're going to be the road team. But, you know, I didn't like the way they finished that game. And neither did Luka. Mm. And I'm just still worried about Luka and the left side, if he can look left. Although, you wouldn't have known it watching him in Game 5. That dude is, you know, I don't like the whining. That's the only thing I don't like. But that's prevalent in all sports. I think that's just more of a generational deal. God, I love watching this guy play.
He's unbelievable. Yeah,
but they need to get more out of who?
Porzingis.
Yeah.
He can't have 8 points if the Mavs are closing.
No.
He's got to be better. And Tim Hardaway's got to be more efficient.
Yep.
Tim Hardaway Jr.'s got to be more efficient.
Finney Smith needs more than 8 or 10.
Yeah. They need more. Luka needs more help, period. Luka, doesn't matter. I mean, the neck thing, I know it bothers him, but I think Luka can still almost get any shot that he wants. Defensively, it probably would affect him more than it does offensively.
Hmm.
Defensively, you react, so you don't know when you're going to have to, you know.
You don't control the pace like he does on offense.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know when you're going to have to tweak that neck or turn in the wrong direction. But offensively, you can really, you know, really manipulate your defender to the point where you don't have to tweak that neck as much. I worry about Kristaps Porzingis. I think they could win this game tonight, but Kristaps and the desperation.
He's
got to
be more engaged,
have.
BK.
Yeah,
I think it goes 7. I'm with KD.
Okay.
I think it ends up going 7.
You know, I felt good about the Mavs tonight, but Bucky put 10,000 units on the Mavs to win the game tonight.
Oh, man. Oh, then
so
you're done.
Any chance Dallas had has gone out the window. That's the ultimate.
So explain units to us, because a lot of us would hear that.
Isn't
and go,
that dollars?
Bucky put 10,000 bucks on something?
Is that what it is?
Bucky's definition of unit is different than anyone else's definition of unit.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So it depends on how much you like to bet. But a unit for me is 10 bucks.
Okay.
If I say I'm putting a unit on a game, it'll be 10 bucks. I'm a very low money better. Now, I'll go big from time to time, but I'm usually not putting more than 100 on any bet at any time.
Wow. That's smart. Keep
some,
that up.
Some guys, a unit is $1,000. Some guys, a unit is $5,000.
Okay,
some guys are $10,000. Bucky just completely exaggerates his units. He's not actually putting $10,000 or $10,000 anything on these games. So. But whenever he gives one of these picks on the show, it generally spells doom for the team he's betting on.
I think
so the Mavs are in trouble.
Tom McKay said he's actually been keeping track of Bucky's units.
Yeah, Bucky said this morning he was up after last football season.
No, Tom McKay says all time. Like he's been keeping up with
that
forever.
Impressive.
And he said Bucky
is a full-time job.
He's down 375,000 units. I swear. He called in the show this morning, asked Trey. He said, Bucky, I've been keeping track of it. He's a businessman, so I believe.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I do
he's a businessman. He's like, no, I've been keeping track of him. And you know he loves his sports.
Yep.
He listens to the show all the time, all the shows. And he said, you're down 375,000 units, man. You have ruined lives. He said, you ruined. Yep. People have been homeless because of you, Bucky.
Well, but I think if they've been listening long enough, actually what you figure out is just take the opposite and make some money.
That's true. If you're smart, you go,
you're smart,
know what? I get
after
it.
After a little while, you go, actually, I want to hear Bucky's pick.
Fade the buck.
Yeah.
I wish I was his bookie, man. I'd be rich.
Yeah, you'd be loaded.
Wow.
There you go. So Mavs Clippers, 8 o'clock tonight. We'll see if Dallas can close things out. If they win, they will take on Utah in round two. If not, game 7 Sunday back in the City of Angels.
And we're on a break here, but you're the NBA guy. You're the Mavs guy. What happens tonight?
Mavs by a million.
All right. How many units are you going to put on that?
None.
I'm
telling you, I felt good about the Mavs until Bucky's pick, so I'm taking the Clippers on this one. But Mavs in 7. Good guys win this thing.
I hope.
Good guys.
They're fun to watch, man.
They are. It's the triple option
fun to watch.
With RBKD. Yeah, I don't know how much fun they are to watch.
I think Luka fun to watch.
Yeah, you got
to
remember, I love Tim Hardaway, and
that's
I also
true.
Like Finney Smith. So
yeah,
I'm,
Tim Hardaway
Jr.
is fun to watch, too.
Porzingis needs to be more into it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not even
space cadet.
They're not even
care.
Like trying to use him anymore.
No, he's just sitting outside on the 3-point line.
Yeah, probably wise.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Let Luka do his thing. It's the triple option with RBKD. 1 hour to go on a Friday. When we come back, Texas baseball looked great at the dish. What a way to open up the postseason. Plus, they got some help from around the country. We'll give you the details next.